Welcome to the Doctor Nurse Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Sandra Pagenta. I'm a doctorally prepared nurse practitioner, and I am so glad you decided to join me today. The Doctor Nurse Podcast is a podcast for nurses and nurse practitioners that are wanting to understand what exactly their degrees can do for them. After the birth of my son, I had this aching desire to have more flexibility in my career choices, despite feeling like all the alphabet soup after my name didn't really afford me very many options. I launched the podcast to find the answers that I so desperately needed. I also knew I couldn't be the only nurse who felt this way. Does this sound like you? If so, come and hang out with me as I figure out what our nursing degrees can give us access to as far as career flexibility, control over our schedules, and entrepreneurship by talking with NPs and RNs who are doing exactly that. Sit back and enjoy the conversation. Doctor Nurse Podcast fam, welcome to another episode of the Doctor Nurse Podcast. So happy to have on Dr. Annie on the podcast today. She's going to come on and talk about what she's into, what she's built for herself as a doctor, as an actual MD entrepreneur. So she graduated from the University of Richmond with her medical degree, Richmond, Virginia. She completed her residency at Georgetown, the prestigious Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., and she founded Collaborating Docs in 2020 as a board-certified family medicine physician who saw firsthand the need that NPs had for getting with a supervising physician to practice independently. So she realized it was so hard that she had to do something about it. She actually fell in love with NPs during her mentorship as a physician and was just like, this should not be so hard for them. I'm going to create something to solve that problem. So her mission is to make it easy for NPs to have freedom of choice in their careers, which is something very close to the Doctor Nurse Podcast heart, that just options for NPs. So Collaborating Docs, her company, has helped match 1,500 NPs with collaborating physicians. And she loves to spend time with her four babies in her free time, which again, another thing close to the Doctor Nurse Podcast is moms. And I just want to say welcome, Annie, to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here and I love what you do. So this is a treat for me. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So let's go ahead and again, I've summarized what it is that you do, but you tell my audience kind of how you see yourself and your day-to-day roles.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for that intro. I'm a busy mom with four little children that, you know, they're my pride and joy of all, right? A one-year-old, four-year-old, five-year-old, and eight-year-old now. So they keep us very, very, very busy. So kids are number one, but, you know, after kid and family life, career stuff, yes, I am a family doc and proud to be the founder, kind of the pioneer of a matchmaking service that helps nurse practitioners connect with awesome collaborating physicians. It was quite apparent just from my own experience helping a couple nurse practitioners that I knew on the side of my practice for almost 5 years. I was just helping a couple people and loved doing it, loved teaching, loved mentoring, but it sort of became obvious talking to them, getting to know them and some of their colleagues. Like, it is really hard out there to find nice, normal physicians who want to help. I hate to say, but yeah, that simple criteria is hard to find. So it sort of, I'd say the business concept sort of fell in my lap, just helping people. And then honestly, just loads of nurse practitioners started asking me to help them. So many, I couldn't possibly help everyone myself. So I thought, well, I could connect with my friend or my colleague. And then, you know, that's sort of how this took off. And yeah, we're proud to have helped a whole lot of people in the last 3 years. So it's, you know, really gets me jumping out of bed in the morning to help a lot of nurse practitioners make this happen.
So is this what you do primarily now? Do you practice as well? Or is this all that you do?
I was juggling both for the first year and a half. So about a year and a half, we're 3 years in. So about a year and a half ago, I was able to finally step away. Thank the Lord, because yeah, totally burnout. The primary care, you know, burnout was affecting me hardcore. So but more so, I was juggling an 80-hour a week sort of, you know, startup on top of seeing patients 20 to 40 hours. So, you know, the time, it was very challenging. So yeah. It is nice to fully focus on one thing.
Yeah, 100%. And not only that, but you didn't even include in those 80 hours of working both of those jobs, mothering in between, which is, you know, as you said, your pride and joy, the number one thing you can do. And so a lot of the things that I tell my listeners is pay attention where you're working, be present where you're working, notice what keeps finding you, and maybe you can create something from that that could actually set you free from the drudgery of the 9 to 5 or 8 to 7 or whatever it is, the non-stop family medicine work that a lot of nurse practitioners are family medicine, you know, trained nurse mm-hmm. practitioners. And so I think that it's incredible that you were able to kind of find a need, find a hole, and then move to fill the hole and be able to create something that now you can do your most important work and do this on the side to build something up for yourself, that you can create a great service to help nurse practitioners make their jobs easier as they try to go and do something and build something for themselves. So I think that's just, it's full circle, Oprah, and I love it. I absolutely love it. So, okay. So tell my listeners kind of how you work. What is it that you do? You find these doctors. What's the criteria for the docs that you're like, okay, this is not a crazy doctor that's going to be taking advantage of the nurse practitioner. This is the requirement. And then this is how we match up our nurse practitioners with these docs.
Yeah, sure. We are seeking out the nice and normal doctors of the world. They are out there. Sometimes they're hard to find, I can say, as one of the crazy bunch out there. But yeah, our criteria is, number one, they must be very pro-NP, very supportive, because we all know there are haters out there, right? I mean, it's sort of a well-known thing that doctor and NP relations are not always the world's best. I don't really understand that personally, but it exists. So we're very cautious to only deal and talk with physicians that are in it for the right reasons, and ideally ones who love to teach and mentor. So a lot of them are tied to universities or colleges or training programs. A lot of our physicians have their own practice or have had their own practice, so they can also relate like very well. And I think they're more of an asset to our clients. But yeah, it was very challenging at the beginning, finding a good stable of physicians in every single state, in every single specialty, right? It's a lot to cover. So that was hard. I spent a lot of time blowing up the phone, cold calling, I mean, all sorts of things. But then once we found people, we would closely vet them and get to know them and make sure it was going to be a good fit. Obviously, look into their backgrounds. Now it's become easier. A couple years in, now a lot of physicians actually seek us out and they say, oh, I want to do that. You know, how do I do this? I, you know, sign me up for this. And then, you know, we still take a very close look at who this person is. But we also were very cautious. We'll give a new doc, maybe one client, and check in, how's it going? Are they responsive? Are they doing the things they need to do before we load someone up with, you know, 5 people? So we take it very slow and steady, I would say. So yes, that's kind of the doctor side. I feel like, what was the second half of your question? It was
related. Good. And then the nurse practitioners. So like, how do they get linked with the docs? Like, how do you pull them together?
Yeah. So that side, really proud to say we employ, currently we have 7 full-time nurse practitioners on our staff. Yay. So they are our onboarding team. So if you're interested in working with us, you're going to talk to a nurse practitioner who is fully employed by us. And most of them have had their own practice, or at least a very, you know, a clear background in collaboration themselves. So they get what's needed and what our clients are looking for. So we'll have a nice, meaningful conversation. Usually we try to do it over Zoom. And then build that relationship. You know, really, it's true matchmaking. It's not a computer algorithm or AI or something like spewing out matches. It's we get to know our prospective client, the nurse practitioner, and we know our doctors. And then we really put them together. A separate team is our matchmaking team. And they actually take all the info about both parties and find the right match. Because it could be like, people are all very different, right? I want a doc that's a recent grad that knows everything about everything and is, you know, just really sharp. Or I'd rather a retired doc who has all the time in the world so I can call him every day and talk for an hour. You know, people have different needs. And we can usually, now we have a big stable, I think about 1,500 doctors. So, you know, we can find the right fit for everybody, which is nice.
That's so cool. And doctors all over the country, right? So you've got them in all the states. So for a nurse that's tuned in, she's like, wait, okay, what's going on? Why do I need a collaborating physician? What's happening? I didn't even know I need, what is this? What are we doing? So I was thinking about, as you were talking, the nurse that's like, wait, what? The nurse practitioner's like, I don't even know anything this is about. Why do you need a collaborating physician? Kind of what kind of set the stage for how then they would go out and go, oh, wait, and then there's this great company that I don't even have to work hard for this. So let's maybe set the stage for, yeah, I want to do that like right now.
What is this all about? Yeah. It is a legal requirement in about half of the country, largely in the South, some Midwest, California. It's more like a smiley face across the bottom of the country, pretty much. States that require, if you're going to do your own practice of some sort, any sort, I want to have my own Botox clinic, I want to do telepsych, like whatever it might be, your state dictates what you can do and how. So it's sort of a requirement that you have someone in the wings there to support you for clinical advising. So certain states require a certain number of chart reviews, certain number of meetings, a certain number of conversations. And we are very cautious about what those regulations are and make sure that happens. But basically, it's shockingly difficult to find a physician, you know, really familiar with this and really excited to do it. Doctors are very risk averse. So just like, wait, what? I'm helping someone and I'm not there? Like, how's this going to work? So we've done the educating on our end to find doctors who are, you know, they understand this model and what the role they play to be like a support sounding board sort of. So yeah, you'd have to look at your own state sort of guidance if you need this or not. I do think with time, it won't be needed anywhere. Hopefully that's even our hope. I'm ready to retire. And, you know, when the time comes, it's fine. Totally fine. So we're helping while it's needed. When it's not needed, all the better. Like, so yes. It every year a state or two kind of flips and becomes fully independent, like Kansas last year. So it's kind of ticking down the states. Which is good.
But by that time, Annie, you will have figured something out and the skills that you will have learned from this will make you so you'll be able to go do something else just even as marvelous and wonderful. So that I think is down the road. But even if it is, I think you're going to be just fine with your new set of skills that you learned as a physician. But I think what I find, again, kind of reaping what you're saying, this is for the nurse practitioner that is wanting to open up her own business and is living in one of those smiley face or maybe frowny face states that does not allow nurse practitioners to practice completely independently. And you've got to have a collaborating physician to supervise your work, somebody that you can reach out to if something goes wrong or you need someone to kind of come in and just kind of supervise what it is that you're doing. And again, like you said, there's a need there and you're filling the need. So I think that's really, really cool. And I think that, again, like you said, you're solving that problem that can be really burdensome to nurse practitioners. Because what were you seeing that made you go, oh, this is a problem? What were you noticing?
There are so many problems, I'll say. It seemed like the main place nurse practitioners look is on Indeed.com. Like, I mean, that's what I heard from people. And I was sort of looking on Indeed and seeing, I mean, that's even where I found some of my own clients. Like, as a nurse practitioner, you can go on, sometimes even free, like to post an ad, like, I'm looking for a collaborator in Virginia, I'm doing primary care, and then physicians apply. But from what I learned, physicians prey on the nurse practitioners on there, and they'll say, oh yeah, I'll help you for a percentage of your profit, or I will do it for $5,000 a month, or like some insanely crazy amount of money that is not fair at all. And a lot of those physicians, I was hearing from other nurse practitioners, like, I'm paying a ton of money to this doctor who never calls me back, who never answers my questions, who never does the chart review. Like, so they're even charging a ton and not even delivering anything. So it's like, it's abominable. I mean, really, that's what got me very fired up. Like, this has to be stopped. Like, that's so slimy and horrible. Obviously, I'm talking in extremes. Of course, there's some nice doctors out there, but
there's
a vast majority, I would say, do that. I just talked to someone the other day and she said, what was it? The physician that she posted on Indeed and she got She said, these were like the craziest people I ever met in my life. One doctor said, I'll help you if you prescribe narcotics to me. This is a true story from the other day. I'm like, holy smokes. So there's a lot of weirdness out there. That's what.
Yeah.
Really sketchy. Super sketchy.
Me, that is super sketch. Wow. Somebody should report that guy. I don't know what that is, but hit report button.
Now, yes. Not cool. Not cool.
Wow.
So
that's what you were noticing out in the world, that you were like, it's time. Got to step in. Someone's got to do something because this is a mess. So then what specialties do you guys provide? Like, what specialties do you guys go into to create those partnerships between docs and?
We're very open. I mean, we take all comers. We've actually had some really crazy requests from people. I'm trying to think of like one of the crazier requests, but people who get very niche, like, we'll help anybody. So, I mean, we've had, you know, wound care is not that niche, but we've had anything from primary care to urgent care, aesthetics, IV hydration, definitely mental health, like PMHMPs going into psychiatry, but also some very unusual niche, you know. Yesterday came across my desk was, we need a physician trained in hyperbaric medicine. Oh my gosh. I don't think I've ever met someone trained in that in my whole life, but we'll try and we'll find them for you. So,
cool.
We get all kind of things. And again, we've yet to be stumped. Not saying it's not hard sometimes. We send out, you know, the bat signal and we're like trying to find the right person, but we have never, ever been stumped with the weird requests. Weird requests, but.
Yeah. If you got it, we'll try to find it. That's really neat. So what is the process that an NP goes through in order to get connected with you guys? Say she's working in, you know, psych mental health. She has like a telehealth business. She might want to do functional medicine and she needs kind of a, you know, supervising physician for that. What's the process look like? What does she do? Where does she go? How does it get started? How much does it cost?
Man, I hate to stop a great conversation, but I have to tell you guys about what's going on at successnps.com. It's Jackie and I's newly launched SuccessNP website that has access to all of our clinical booklets. We were able to create a fabulous resource for nurse practitioner students to use during their clinical rotation. What we noticed was that there was something missing, that nurse practitioner students would go to clinicals, and by the time that they would finally get up and running, the clinical rotation would be over. So what we thought was, could we create a shortcut? Could we create a hack that would help them get the most out of their clinical experience? My best friend Jackie and I created these booklets, and we have gotten 5-star rave reviews from so many nurse practitioner students that have been using our booklets and feel like it's made a difference in their clinical journey. So I invite you to click the link in the show notes, check it out. See what other things we have at our shop. We've got really cute nurse practitioner gear. We have some digital planners. We've got a lot of great resources to help you beautify your nursing journey. There's just not a lot of stuff for nurse practitioners, and we want to feel special too. So check out our shop. See if there's anything there that you might like. Again, any support that you throw towards the shop is support that you put towards the podcast. So guys, thanks for listening. Thanks for hanging out with me. I hope you're enjoying the conversation. And let's get back to it.
Sure. Yeah. We like to start with just that simple conversation, usually over video chat, ideally, or phone if people prefer that. But it can be booked right through our website. So an NP comes on, books a call, day and time works for them. They talk to one of our nurse practitioner team members about what they're doing or trying to do, their practice, their own experience, like what they want out of their physician, any special requirements. So they have that conversation. On that call, we provide a personalized quote. They are personalized. We do not have a price list. We do not have a lot of people say, why is it not on your website? How much it costs? The reason is everyone is given a quote by their nurse practitioner they're talking to based on what they're offering. Because there's so many factors, like no price sheet would do it justice. Like, is it super basic telemed one day a week versus I'm injecting Botox 12 hours a day, 5 days a week? You know, it's difference of liability, difference of like how much effort the physician's going to have to put in. So we have to take into account things like that. Also location. So certain states have a lot more stringent regulations around collaborating. Like in Georgia, you need a on-site visit every quarter. Tennessee has an on-site requirement. So if a physician has to get in their car and drive to your office and sit down and check things out, you know, it takes time and effort. So we take into account all these things, even experience of the NP. You know, if you've done it 20 years, probably not going to need much help, right? It's more of like a silly legal thing at that point versus I just graduated yesterday. I'm going to probably need a good bit of help on things. So we factored in, but average, like we start at 600 a month for like basic stuff, like basic telemed and things like that. If there's a brick and mortar component, it kind of creeps up to about 750-ish. And then there's some add-ons. If you're doing aesthetics or other like procedural things, tons of pain meds, like something a little out there, it's going to creep up past that. But we really are trying to keep it like in that affordable range below what all these awful people on Indeed are doing, like way below that. So it's like, okay, this is just a line item on my budget. It's part of doing business, but it's not going to break the bank by any means. It's like a, you feel like you're getting worth for that. You know, you're getting value for what you're paying for it. So
and does that amount include what goes to the collaborating doc? So like that amount is included in, all right, I pay for this service, but then this also pays for the doctor. So they take care of it. They make sure that the requirements that are needed for the state, that they're getting those things done. The doc has the scheduling. So all this stuff is worked through your company, which actually would take a huge level of stress off the NP. Just to know that as long as I'm making this payment every month, part of my business, I've got that part taken care of from a legal aspect.
Yeah, that it can get really, really expensive because if you go you'd have to go hire your own lawyer, of course, to draft a collaborative agreement.
I saw that you do that. Yeah.
A lot of lawyers don't even know what that is. Like they don't even know what collaborating is. It's not that well known out in the real world. So if they don't have other medical clients, they probably have no idea what you're talking about. So that's time, money for them to figure it out. So we provide the agreement, we provide a state guidance, and we always keep up with it because it changes a ton. So quite often.
Yeah.
And we cover the physician's malpractice, which I think we're super proud. It was very hard to get a plan to cover hundreds of doctors at once. You know, it cost us a pretty penny and it's hard to even just get it going. But we've had it over 2 years now and it's so nice. Like that usually falls on the NP, right? So like, if it's your practice, you got to pay for the malpractice for the doc helping you. But this way you don't, like we cover it and it's in that same, you know, monthly fee. So it's, you do get a lot for the money. It's not just the doc itself. There's more, I'd say, to it. We do charge, I just want to be clear for people listening. We do charge a one-time onboarding fee of $500. So that's where we, you know, cover our expense of like frantically calling every doctor we know to find the one that does hyperbaric medicines and set things up properly. But beyond that, the money mostly honestly goes to the doctor. We're kind of like a pass through to the doc primarily.
Gotcha. That's so cool. And what if, now again, this is just a hypothetical. What if you match up an NP and she's like, can't stand her? Or the male nurse practitioner's like, can't stand her. I just don't like her. I want out. What then, Annie? What do you do, Doc Annie?
We definitely rematch. We have a great client success team who is now led by an NP. So like we're just NPs everywhere. So you'll talk to an NP about the problem. And yes, if the doc is a grouch or not nice or whatever, I'll tell you two things will happen. One, we'll get you a new match free. But two, we're probably going to cut ties with that doctor. I mean, if he rubs you wrong, he's probably going to rub a lot of other people wrong. So I have a very short fuse. I chop quickly any word of bad behavior or something along those lines. We just don't put up with it because we need to have a good stable. It's our brand on the line. We don't want any, they'll give you a doc who's horrible like they did to me. Like it's few and far between because we do our vetting ahead. But if someone slips through, at least we end it then and nobody else is affected. So that's how we handle it. Yeah.
One thing I was thinking about while you were talking, I was thinking, okay, so what if there's a new nurse practitioner that's thinking, okay, I don't really know what to do. I don't even know what kind of doctor I want. So like these, you know, seasoned nurse practitioners that have been in business a long time, they're like, I want this, I want that, I want that, I want that. They know how to order right off the menu, right? I'll look, they know how to pick what they want.
But for a new nurse, it's like, is there a combo meal? Like, I have no idea what I even want. You know, what do you guys help them through that process? Because there might be a new nurse registrar that's like, okay, I'm kind of scared. I think I could maybe start something, but I don't even know what I need or want. Is there a process in which you guys help that nurse practitioner? Do you have like a system in place to kind of go like, you're going to want these things if you're starting off?
Exactly. And that's why we hire exclusively nurse practitioners to talk through this whole process. Because, yeah, they know and they'll kind of guide the client through that, like with probing questions like, you know, what is your comfort with like what you're going into? Or do you feel like you're going to have a lot of questions? Or, you know, they kind of pull it out of them. Just, yeah. So we're all on the same page.
So good. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So then that's why that cost might be higher. And because you're going to need kind of more close handholding. And then can they always like reassess their contract later and go like, listen, I'm more independent now. I'm better. I think I need less. You know, can they reassess that contract or does that contract like stay firm?
You know, they're welcome to reassess. But the funny thing is when, you know, it's happened, people have come back to us. By the time they come back a year, two, 3 years later, like our algorithm, like our often has changed in a sense where like, well, now a psychiatrist in Ohio is already $200 more dollars. So like,
stick with what
you're at. Let's not.
Yeah.
So we're happy to talk to people if they're like, I think I made a mistake. Like, I think, you know, this is different than I thought. We're happy to talk it through, but it doesn't happen too often that way. So yeah,
that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. That you'll just stick with what you got because you're probably getting a really good deal on having a collaborating doc on your payroll. That's really, really cool.
To date, we have, I swear on a Bible, we have never raised prices on a current client. And a lot of doctors have complained to me a lot, like, when am I ever going to get a raise for helping this person for 3 years? And I'm like, oh, we're trying to build goodwill and just help people out. So it's not really on our radar right now. I cannot say this will last for all of eternity, but we really try, like, if we give you that price and then it stays, like, so that you're not shocked later.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So I guess I would like to know, and again, from your experience of owning a family medicine practice, from now owning a business, you know, and working all these different things, different hats and motherhood and everything, what advice would you have for an NP or an RN that's thinking about starting their own practice that you would give them at the start of their journey as they're either moving into owning their own practice? What would you give as advice? I mean, Annie, you've got so much experience.
Yeah, I think I have a lot. I could talk all day on this topic. I love entrepreneurship and I love the interesting things our clients are doing. But I guess two biggies. One, this has been true for me, like, and so many of our clients, like, take the time to find mentorship. Like, I'm not talking about the collaborator. I just mean like business mentorship. If you're starting a medical practice of any type, find someone who's a couple steps ahead of you and having success. The hardest part is probably finding that person, to be honest, right? You might want to look beyond your community because you might be in competition with that person. So like maybe look a state or two away and see, do research on Yelp or, you know, however, you know, all these different medical review sites, like find someone very similar background, perhaps yourself, doing what you want to do. And you'll probably be able to gauge from like their website and Yelp reviews, Google reviews, if they're succeeding or not, at least generally speaking. And then talk to them and don't be afraid to offer something. I mean, they're probably super darn busy. So like offer money, like, hey, I would love you to be my consultant. I can pay you $100 a week. We could talk an hour a week, like whatever, you know, you think is fair to them. And I know it's hard when you don't have income coming in just yet, but it's worth its weight in gold. Like the money I spent on some business, just like I had one particular guy, Brett, I met every week for an hour. I mean, he didn't have all the answers, of course. I mean, he's not doing it for me. Like, it's just like a sounding board even. Like, hey, I'm thinking like I should set this up this way. And then having his fresh perspective, because he's done it, he started 10, you know, businesses of his own. So like he knows more than me.
Yeah.
And so that's a biggie, I would say, the mentorship thing. Second, for me too, like, I am thankfully helping so many nurse practitioners and finding great success with collaborating docs. It's blowing up and scaling so fast. We're just hiring like every day some new employee to work for us behind the scenes. It's super exciting. But I did probably about five other businesses before this that all were pretty much failures. Some had moderate, mild success. Some were total flops. One I lost a lot of money on. So like, I'm just saying, like, I think some people see me like, oh, you have it so easy. Oh, you just, you know, set this up and whatever. No, it's a school of hard knocks. And I hear that from a lot of our clients. I love talking to our clients who are like crazy successful. Chris Bustamante, he's doing aesthetics in New York City, Manhattan, started with one chair in like a co-working medical office space thing. It was a kind of a cool thing they had in, I think a couple cities have this sort of thing. So he got his like one room office with one chair. And flash forward like 1 year, not long, like 1 year. And he made $1 million in revenue that year. Unbelievable. And now he's on track, I think, for $2 million this year. So like, and he came just out of NP school, like zero experience. He blew it up. He found a great niche. He marketed. He had learned a lot of marketing lessons from past failures. And it was like the stars aligned, like all the things he had learned from the past. I'm so excited for, you know, Chris. But so many people are like that. And me too, just like, the failure is just that, you know, you're falling forward. Don't let it make you fall backward.
Yeah, I think that's such good advice. That I love that success is like an EKG line. Success is like this line that goes all over, but is kind of slowly going up. You know, you just have to keep trying and seeing what you find. And I just think it couldn't have happened to a better person, Annie, that you were able to find something that is scaling and growing and that you're so dedicated. And I just see it in your voice. I feel it in your energy that you care about nurse practitioners. You want to make sure that they are getting the things that they need. And you want to be able to provide a good, valuable resource that supports us, doesn't take advantage of us, and gets us to the goals that we want in life. And you're going to be successful because that is like totally the recipe for making something that succeeds, is by putting others at the center, creating a product or service that is making sure that you're keeping the right things in the middle and you're keeping the goals and the priorities and the principles that you want right at the middle. So I just think, Annie, that gets me fired up. It makes me so happy to promote your stuff on my podcast and to put you out there as someone that people can trust, that nurse practitioners can put their faith behind. And yeah, give us shameless plug for your business for people to check you out as we close up.
Shameless plug time. Yeah. Well, visit us on collaboratingdocs.com, or honestly, if you just Google collaborating docs, we should be the first search term if our Google ads are dialed in right. So you'll find us there. But yeah, right on there, you can book right on the main page to talk to someone. Even if we love talking to people, you could be 2 years away from wanting to start anything, we still love talking to you. Like, our nurse practitioners have lots of good resources and advice. So just talk to somebody. There's like, we're not going to hound you the rest of your life. Like, we love just talking about interesting business ideas and see what you're thinking. So, you know, would love that. The other bonus, if you go to our website, on the top, we have a section I'm probably most proud of called Services Our NPs Love. And that's been cultivated by our actual clients. Like, oh, I use them for my billing. Oh, I use them for credentialing. And if people are like, love it, love it, love it, then we leave it up. If someone says, actually, I had a really bad experience with them, then we remove it. So
yeah,
the ones up there are well-liked, and that can save some time if you're starting out. There's so many things you have to figure out, like, you know, the legalities, the business setup, formation, all the things. So at least there's like a resource for anybody you can go today and just see it on the website.
I saw that. You had Katie Harris, who's been on Nursepreneur. She's been on there. So yeah, she's great. And I wasn't surprised to see her on that resource, but you guys, I was like, yeah, she's pretty good. She's pretty solid. So fantastic. Well, again, thank you for coming on the podcast today and sharing what it is that your business is doing. I typically do rapid fire. I didn't know if you'd be open to it. I normally do it with my MPs, but we're gonna bring you in as an honorary MP. You ready for it?
I love it. Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm doing it. I don't know what this is, but I'm ready. If it's anything like, what is the show on Bravo? The pop show. He has something like that, I think.
Rapid Fire or something?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you ready, Dr. Annie? Let's do it.
I'm ready.
What is your favorite holiday?
Christmas.
Definitely. Christmas, 100%. If you have kids, that's totally it. If you had to pick a character to play you, in life, what character would you choose?
Not an actress, like a cartoon character.
If you're like this cartoon character.
And so in the cartoon mindset right now, I'm like, could it be Bluey? Like, I don't know.
Troll, like, what do you got?
Yeah. Oh, goodness. See, that's the thing with entrepreneurship. You stop watching TV, right? Like, that's the first thing to do.
Yeah.
I'm so out of date with pop culture. So I have to go with, like, my kids. Yeah, one of their little characters, probably. I can't even think. My son is always Bluey right now in Paw Patrol.
I'm impressed with Bluey. I like the mom for Bluey. She's like, she's golden a lot. I'm like, you're patient. I like your accent. All right. And then, okay, so you said you don't watch TV. What's your favorite dessert?
Ooh, anything chocolate. Let's do chocolate cake. Yeah.
Chocolate cake. Okay. I feel like I'm so cheesecake. Anything cheesecake, strawberry cheesecake. I just like it plain. Don't do anything fancy with it. Don't make it red velvet. Don't make it, no, just plain. Throw a strawberry on it and I'm a happy girl. Like, that's what I like. I don't know.
Do the ricotta or more like the New York, like, cream cheese cheesecake?
Oh, no. If I'm going to do it, I mean, like, I try to be healthy. Okay, let's be real. Okay, truth, I try to be healthy.
Sure.
If you have a ricotta and, like, a normal one, if the ricotta is still really good, I'll probably give it a shot. But, like, true, like, ignoring calories, ignoring all the health stuff, give me that regular cheesecake or strawberry on it. Leave me alone for, like, 30 minutes. Let me eat that thing.
I get you. I was just in New York City. It's like, I can't. Yeah. I'm there a day. I'm like, where's the cheesecake place again? Like, we got to get that. Yes.
Well, I loved hanging out. Thank you for your time today, Annie. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks for having me. Super fun. Have a great one.
Yes. And guys, don't forget to enjoy the journey of your career. Thanks for hanging out.
This is a Dr. No Podcast. Love you, Mama. Bye.
So, that's a wrap. Be sure to subscribe to the show so you don't miss an episode. And leave me a review if you like the show. I would love to get 5 stars. The Dr. Nurse Podcast is on the World Wide Web, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Patreon, and TikTok. Subscribe to my newsletter for updates on new podcast episodes and other information to help you on your own nursing journey. You can always message me at thedrnursepodcast@gmail.com with any career professions that you are interested in hearing about. And just a friendly reminder, the information on this podcast is for educational purposes only, and the information should not be used in substitute for professional care by a medical provider. The information in this podcast does not represent medical or professional advice or services.